Let's get into the book of Deuteronomy. And last time we was together was in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the beginning of that. And so let's go over that again, a little bit of a refresher. Since Tony's birthday, you know, he needs to get refreshed. And, you know, the Bible says, well, we're supposed to renew our mind, right? Daily, especially on your birthday. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 14 all the way through. Here we go. Lightning rod speed. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, what? Diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do half of his commandments. Oh, man, to do all those commandments which I'm asking you to do. No, I'm commanding you to this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. So remember last time, if we shamar, if we obey, if we keep, if we listen, if we do, God says, I'm going to set you on high. Remember, on high, it means to be equated with him being the highest of highs. You can't get no higher than God. So what he's saying is, I'm going to make you a nation that's compatible with me. It's compatible in the sense that you're part of my family. Okay, so no other nation is going to be like you. All right, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Everybody say, come on me. Come on me and overtake thee, for thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So remember that, to come on you and to overtake you means to absolutely to connect with you. You ever wonder and look at people and say, man, they're really blessed, and they don't have to drive the fastest car, the best car, the nicest car. They just have the blessings of God on them. What is that? That's that right there. This is that. This is what God is talking about. Because there's a lot of people that have Rolexes who are miserable. There's a lot of people that drive a Maserati and they're as wicked as can be. But there's some people that's driving an old Oldsmobile. Come on. Smiling and loving God, just doing their thing. Amen. So it'll overtake you. I want to be overtaken. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. We won't go through all that. But basically, you see the categories there. God says, I'm going to bless you, watch this, in your produce. A Christian's life should be productive. A Christian's life should be productive, whether it's soul winning, whatever it is, discipleship, gathering in friendships, fellowship, discipleship, what have you. Our lives are to be productive. Our lives are not to be reducing. In other words, when you get around people who are walking in this blessing, the produce that's on your life gets on them too. Watch out for people who always subtract from you. Let me try that one more time. Watch out for people who always subtract and they always withdraw from you. There's something wrong. It's okay to need... Hey, it's okay to have a shoulder to lean on. All of us need it. All of us need a hand up. All of us need someone to cry on the shoulder and whatever. But some, not every day, my wife says, because she knows some. Not every day. Someday you got to get big and you got to take care of yourself. So be careful of that, because that means there's something wrong. They're not walking in the blessings. They're not walking in the blessings. Again, the blessings has nothing to do with your bank account, nothing to do with your clothing, nothing to do with your address, zip code, any of that. But your life should be productive. All right, so let's go on. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. This is what I was trying to get to last week, and I only hit it real short, talking about the storehouses, but was also talking about producing the dough, producing the flour, producing the bread. In other words, there's always a continuous amount of blessing. It's never ending. It's never ending. How many of y'all are starving right now? Not one in this room. You're doing okay, right? I mean, we're all doing okay. The blessings are continuously upon our lives. Now, some of us can miss a couple meals, but we're doing okay. Someone says, I can't do that. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed when thou goest out. In other words, when I go in that place, I'm blessed. When I come out, I'm blessed. Doesn't mean I shoplift. You better not shoplift. It means I'm blessed. All right, go on. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. And then he talks about how they flee away. Verse 8. The Lord shall command. I love this right there. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee. Listen, when God commands something, who stops it? God said, let there be light. Has light stopped? Nope, not even darkness can comprehend it. Not even twinkle, twinkle, little star. Not even the moon over Miami. Nothing can stop the light of God, the power of God. So when God commands something, nothing can stop his word. So when he's blessed you and he says, I've commanded this blessing on you, that means there's a lifetime of blessings if you diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and you do his commandments. All right? So he says, the storehouse, whatever you put your hands to, blessed shall thou be in the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. Is that true? Absolutely. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people. And again, there's the case. There's the reason. There's the point. Verse 8, the commanded blessing is upon us so that we would be a holy people. Not that we would be some rich brats, being self-righteous and holy to the world and saying, be like us. You know, how dare you be a sinner? No, it's so that we would be holy to him. All right, hit it. Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall what? See. They shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of thee. Again, look what it says here. All the people of the earth shall see thou art rich. Nope. All the people of the earth shall see that you got a lot of stuff. Uh-uh. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. In other words, When they see that you're called by the name of the Lord, they see that you're attached to the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, and they know that you're blessed because he's awesome, and because he's awesome, they want to be in relationship with him. See, that's what prosperity is for. Prosperity is definitely for reaching and preaching the gospel, but it's also to show folks as a glimmer, just a small little reflection, how awesome he is. You know, it's not... I got to say this properly because some people misunderstand. Sometimes poverty is not a reflection of the goodness of God. It is not. But Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. And one of the worst is the poor in spirit. Because those are the people that are poor, not only physically, but they're also poor in their mouth. Okay? Prosperity has many faces, many attributes to prosperity. But the main part of prosperity is having peace with God. You're the richest, man, when you have peace with God. You made everything right with him. So they're going to see that we're called by the name of the Lord. And let me give you this one example real quick, and I'll throw this in there for free because this wasn't in the notes from last time, but I know this from missionary work. Overseas, especially over in Africa, what the Muslims would do is they would go into these villages and go into these places of Africa that are really poor, and they would go and they would build their mosques out of gold. And they'd have big oil money pumped into these places, big money that comes in through sheikhs and what have you, kingdoms, Saudi Arabia or what have you. And they would pour in this money and they would point to the villagers and say, this is Allah. This is what our God can do. And then they would point the finger at the little missionary churches. Are you listening to me? Broken down, broke, busted. I mean, just things falling apart. No missions money from America. Nobody's really helping the guy. And then they would compare their God with what they saw on the natural. Does that make sense? And many, many people would be converted to Islam because they saw something and they were attracted to it. Now, we know the power of God's greater than a building. We know the gospel is the power of Jesus Christ. We know that missionary church is preaching truth. But you get my point? And by the multiplied millions, they convert to this false gospel, okay, or false religion. So the Lord wants us to show this how good he is. All right, verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous and good in the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground and the land which the Lord God sweareth unto thy fathers to give thee. Notice it says plenteous and good. Again, he wants you to be productive. He wants you to be productive. The Lord shall open unto to thee his good treasure, and the heaven to give the rain unto the land thy land in its season. What is that? The former and the latter rain, and to bless half of the work of your hands. No, all of the work of your hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. It's a good thing not to be a slave to the lender. Is that right? It's a good thing not to be, because they have the upper hand. You know, if you're going to go buy something, wouldn't it be nice to just bypass the lender and write out a check? We can't do that unless we have the money. Is that right? So we got to get the money in our hands, and we do it by faith and hard work. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Last week I told you that does not mean just the physical head and the rear end. It's talking about being an independent nation. Again, part of that high and lifted up. God is high and lifted up. His kingdom is high and lifted up. And he would make the nation of Israel equal and say, this is what my kingdom looks like. We'll flip it over to the New Testament. That's exactly what the world is supposed to see. The kingdom of God in action, in life, and vitality. Jesus being the head and us being the lively stones. Body fitted together, walking in unity. Powerful. And we confound the wise with that. Okay, so we can go on. Finally, 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of these words, which I command thee this day, to the right or to the left, and to go after other gods to serve them. All right, so we have to obey and follow God in all the ways, and he's going to bless us. You know, going back to that comment about Islam, and that doesn't mean we have to go out and build crystal cathedrals in the, you know, the desert. What that means is that we ought to do the best we can and give God the glory and give excellence to what we do the best we possibly can. I will tell you this in passing, the statistic is probably much worse now, but more money is spent on dog food in America than on world missions. So that's the comparison I'm trying to get you to see. Okay? All right, so let's go. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to finish this whole chapter up right tonight. Does that sound good? You don't think I can do it? I can do it with the Lord's help. But it shall come to pass if thou will not, everybody say not, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, let me say this before we go on. We're going to see some stuff about God here. We're going to read some stuff about the Lord here that's going to make people say, well, wait a minute now. I thought you said he was good. Well, he is good. But you have to see this. You want to write this down in your notes. The blessings came first. That's how God is. He wants you to see his blessed side. He don't want to show you the backside of the hand. He don't want to show people his wrath. He don't want to show nobody his anger. He is a blessing God. So he starts out with the blessings. So he says, hey, I want to bless you. Bless, bless, bless. But now, here's what happens if you mess up. If thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses, how many? All these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Remember I told you about getting on you and all that? Right next to that word, put right overtake in your notes. Another translation, another definition is to glue on. To glue on. In other words, he's going to put something on you Ajax can't get off. Same thing with the blessings. He's going to glue them blessings to you. Okay, only disobedience can take it off of you. The cursings come on you, but the only thing to get them off of you is obedience. If you obey, we can fix this thing. All right? Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed thou shalt be in the field. Wow. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of the kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall be thou when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. Here's what I wrote in my notes. Triple threat. Triple threat. Notice he starts out with the blessings. Now we go from verse 15 on down, it starts to flip. It's the opposite. I'm blessed in the city and the field if I listen to God, but I'm cursed if I disobey. blesses my body, blesses the fruit of my body, blesses the produce of my life, but curse if I disobey. You know, I've said this many, many times. I think the Bible is so easy, Brother Mike. I think living for God is so easy. People, theologians make it so hard. Church folks make it so hard. God is an easy God. He loves us. He has an awesome plan for us. All we got to do is obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. Now, somebody says, okay, well, this has to do with Israel. Let me ask you this. Do y'all remember before you got saved how rough it was before you did get saved? In other words, there comes a point where sin is fun for a season. Sin is fun for a season. Because you're partying down, you're doing your thing, you're sowing your wild oats and whatever. Woo-hoo, everything's just wonderful. You're on the mechanical bull, you're making it, it's great. Then all of a sudden, you get thrown off that thing, break a couple ribs. Come on, somebody. And reality hits you. But it always seems right before you're going to get saved, you get hit the hardest. And life gets become the hardest. It's because God's trying to bring you to the point where you finally give up. I don't know about y'all, that's how it worked for me. I had to come to the end of me before I looked up to see the beginning of him. That's right. Sound like the prodigal son, don't it? But he says, I'm just going to throw a triple threat on you. And thine hand and everything you do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. God's very serious about this. Verse 21, and the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave. Everybody say cleave. Cleave unto thee until he has consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Is pestilence here today? Absolutely. Has it been in the world? Absolutely. For centuries, we've had pestilence. We've had disease and malady and malfunctions. And what does it come from? It comes from a cursed world. It comes from disobedience as well. Where do you think HIV come from? We don't talk about AIDS anymore because, you know, we're past that. Really? The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, goodness gracious, and with mildew. I don't even like mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. This is talking about with the blasting. That's really called a blight. It's whenever the crops fail. Have we had failures of crops? Absolutely. All across America, all across the world. See, this is not just allotted for Israel in that particular time. This is what theologians and teachers and preachers and whatever, they get so wrong, is they put God in a dispensational type of box and a time frame, and they say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. He's different now. No, he never changes. And that word is applicable anytime, in any place God sees fit. And it can be for a generational people, or it can continue further on into the future. It's up to him. But really, it's up to who obeys and who doesn't obey. This is why the world's in trouble. Look at the crops. Look what's happening around the world today. With the sword, with the blasting, with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Again, he's speaking of Israel, but it also applies to the world. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. Somebody say knucklehead, brass. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Now, what does that mean? It means this. It means several applications, but the first application and the truest application is drought. It's drought. He said the heavens will be brass. It means there ain't going to be no rain. Okay? We've had that for years and years in the world. A nation hits drought levels, and what happens next? Famine. And then it's iron. What happens whenever the sun drenches the ground? It becomes parched and chapped, and you can't grow anything. Seeing that again, different parts of the world. The other application is spiritual, that your heavens will be brass. In other words, I go to pray, and it'll make it past my ceiling. And I look for my produce in life, and I can't get none. Anytime you start having a block in your prayers and produce in your life, check yourself first. You can run around blaming the devil, screaming the devil, shout at the devil, you and Motley Crue. Some, thank you. Some of y'all, hey, yeah, dude, I remember. MTV people. No, you can shout at the devil all day long. But if something's going on in that realm, you need to go to God and say, God, what's going on with me? This should be an open heaven. Now, if you're moving me to a different place in prayer and just adjusting my sails and my signal, that's fine. I understand that. Or maybe wanting me to go deeper. I got it. But all the time, you should go first to yourself and say, what have I done? What's going on with me? All right. Verse 24. And thou shalt make the rain of thy land powder and dust. Just explained it to you, verse 23. Now he's talking about it in clear understanding. The land will be powder and dust. That sounds like the dust bowl, don't it? From the heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. In other words, the only thing you're going to get from heaven is dust. All right, 25. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You ever been embarrassed before? And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. All right. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. In other words, you're on your own. They're going to get you. Okay. And I'm going to explain some of this, how it happened in history. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids. I got to turn around and look at everybody. And with the, isn't God awesome? Because people are like, that's in the Bible? Yep, right there, gave him hemorrhoids. I got to tell you this quick story. Some of y'all might remember this story, but my dad was down in Florida, and there was this nude camp that wanted to come in and move in by Peace River. Beautiful river down there, Florida. If you never canoed it before, you got to go. It's beautiful. And they said they want to set up a nude colony. And so the church said, come on, let's go down there and pray by the riverbank. Said, Brother Faircloth, would you lead the prayer? And my dad said, well, sure will. He said, Father, I pray that you would give them hemorrhoids. And that sound like my daddy, didn't it? You know, and he went on about Egypt and all that. I mean, he was quoting this scripture right here, and you could just hear a pin drop. All his good Baptist friends were like, boop. And you know what? They never stepped foot in Peace River, and they never built that place. I guess they got hemorrhoids and left. It's the Bible. But look what he says. I love God. And with the hemorrhoids and with the scab. Hey, come here, you scab. And with the itch. Who knows where they're itching? Think about it for a minute. God says, I'm going to put this on you. He did it to the Egyptians. And if you wonder why you're so itchy, maybe you got some problems listening. All right. And with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. I love it. Verse 28. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness. Ah, yeah. And blindness. And astonishment of heart. You can stop right there for a second because there's a spiritual application of that as well. When you disobey and you leave the things of God, madness sets in. Blindness spiritually sets in. That's what happens with false teachers. False prophets and people who lead people astray, when they leave the truth and they leave obedience, they open themselves up for madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. All right? And thou shalt grope at noonday. This is powerful. As the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper. There's the word again, prosper. So prosperity is tied to obedience. You can never preach me, teach me out of that truth. I am a believer in prosperity because prosperity comes with obedience. What is obedience? Obedience is doing what God says for you to do. What is prosperity? Prosperity is the payment. Prosperity is the payment for the work you did to be obedient. God's a good God. He's a just God. Are you saying that God pays me to serve? Yes. If the wages of sin is death, then the wages of doing right is life. And life more abundantly. And joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that your joy will be full. You see, it goes on and on and on. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay. And you shall prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Very powerful. And thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her, and thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. And thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thy enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Stop right there for a second. Did this happen to Israel? Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to go over some history in just a few minutes, but it did. These tragic curses came upon Israel, and they're still coming upon the nations of the earth, and America is getting its taste now. This is why I say it can be generational. But you think about all that Israel has been through, going all the way back to Babylonian captivity, going back to Babylonian sieges and whatever. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people. Anybody ever heard of the Holocaust? And that I shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall no might be in the hand. You know, I'm almost getting real emotional because we just watched this movie that spoke of the children of the Holocaust and how they were rescuing the little Jewish children. And I was just thinking about that, how that mothers and fathers would turn over their children to complete strangers as they're getting onto a train in order to save them. And then they were separated to go into concentration camps, never to see them again. And how that curse was on them. Wow. I want to obey God. I want to obey Him. America, you better obey God. All right. The fruit of thy land and the fruit of thy and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. What happened again with Babylon that took all their stuff? What happened with Nazi Germany? Took all their stuff. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. And thou shalt not thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy feet unto the top of thy head. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. Talking about Babylon, talking about Egypt, talking about Germany, talking about Poland. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. That's true. And thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. A lot of truth right there. And thou shalt plant vineyards, and dress them, but shall neither drink of the vine or the wine, neither gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine oil shall cast his fruit. Wow. Imagine that, seeing the harvest, seeing the fruit, but you can't partake of it. That's what true captivity is. That's what true slavery is, to know that you've worked for something that you can't have. But see, disobedience will make you a prisoner. It'll make you a slave. And thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. It happened, didn't it? And all the trees and the fruit of the land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thy very high, and thou shalt come down very low. That's happening here in America today. And he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. Who are we borrowing money from? Foreigners. China is a very good example. Number one lender to the United States, the buyer of our debt and treasuries and what have you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. How can we be great if we're the lesser one? We're lesser because we borrow. You're better when you give, and the lender. See? But people don't think that way because they've got Tupperware and a new toaster. All right, let's go. You're going to be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder upon thy seed forever. Only Jesus can break the curse over nations of the world. These nations that are in turmoil, they're constantly in poverty, whether they're in Latin America, whether they're in Africa, wherever they may be, Middle East, what have you, the European bloc, God has an answer, and his name is Jesus. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Say all things. Man, I'm thankful for everything. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies with the Lord thy God sent against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Very serious. And the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. Who's he talking about? Babylon. And from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Also speaking of the Romans, which we'll get into. A nation of fierce countenance, which thou shalt not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. In other words, they don't care. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or the flocks of thy sheep, until he hath destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, through all thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, did that happen to Israel? Happened in AD 70, didn't it? Under different sieges, but specifically over this siege of the Roman Empire. Okay? Totally destroyed them. And Jesus prophesied about it in Matthew chapter 24, didn't he? He absolutely did. Overthrew them, burnt the temple down. Through all of the foundational stones were turned upon each other. Incredible feat. And I don't have all the details to give to you tonight on that, but it was an incredible thing that happened, and it was a prophecy fulfilled not only by the cursings of what Moses said, but what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Listen to this. The flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherein thine enemies shall distress thee. Did that happen? Yes. It absolutely happened. Let's look at some scripture so we can see that if you have a weak stomach, you know, you can just check out mentally. 2 Kings 6:29. You go there real quick for me. And then Lamentations 4:10. But go 2 Kings 6:29. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat. And she hid her son. Speaking of being besieged. And they actually ate of their own children. Lamentations. Would you go there real quick? Lamentations 4:10. Lamentations 4:10. Okay, I'm not trying to belabor it and, you know, make it gross, but it's what happened. The hands of the pitiful woman have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. God said, you're going to do this. And as far-fetched, as wild as that seems, and as intolerable, it's just unbelievable, it happened. Because why? God commanded it. Just like he commanded the blessings, he's commanding the cursings. These will happen to you if you don't obey. And history repeats itself. In the second century, this happened. And it's happened in the Aztec lands, and on it goes of cannibalism and human sacrifices of nations that totally rejected God, and they found themselves in such dire straits, such issues, dire straits, excuse me. Josephus, in his book, The War of the Jews, on book 6, chapter 3, he talks about a lady by the name of Mary who had a newborn baby who was upon her breast. And she looked at the baby and spoke to the baby and said, "You will be my food." Because they were in such distress. They were besieged. They had no food. They were in famine. And the historian says that they actually took the little baby and boiled the baby and partook of it. That's how bad cannibalism was in AD 70 when General Titus of the Roman Empire came and besieged Jerusalem, just like Moses said it would be and just like Jesus prophesied it would happen. But yet we in arrogance today think these things can't happen to us because we're higher and mightier and we have done much, much more grievous things than the children of Israel did. America needs to wake up. So let's move on. The flesh of thy sons and daughters. Let's go past that. And so that the man that is tender. Now watch this. Because here's the mindset. How much time do I have? Am I doing good? I'm doing good. All right. I don't want to run you over. I've always wanted to run you over. Yeah. That's why I let you guys leave first. All right. Watch this. So the man that is tender among you. Okay, think of the mindset. Think of the mindset. Think of American mindset. Think of people, your neighbor, among you. And very delicate. And this, I shall be evil towards his brother. And in other words, the guy you didn't think would trip and flip is going to be the one to do it. I'm sure Mary was a great mama before the siege. See, people are wonderful in their box. But the true character of any man or woman comes out in the time of adversity. I'm going to find out who you are. I just got to squeeze you right. Come on. I'm going to find out who you are. And I'm going to squeeze you. And when I find that pressure point, we're going to hear you holler. And the same thing we're going to do, you're going to do to me. Why? We're going to find out what our pressure point is. And then you're going to find out who can hang with you. See, that's the problem. We don't know folks around us. But here's the deal. This is how bad it will be. Towards his brother and towards his wife of his bosom and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. In other words, he flipped on everybody. Come on, let's go. So that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children, which he shall eat. In other words, this is mine. And again, in our mindset, because we're cool, we're casual, we're calm, man, everything's normal. You know, we think that can't happen. Yeah, you've ever seen people, y'all remember movies, man, they get stuck on a desert island or something like that, a deserted island. They're all plotting who they're going to kill. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Let's get the weak guy. Let's get the guy, he's got a Twinkie. He's first one. Don't bring Twinkies with you if you ever get stuck in the deserted island. Desert island. Desert island. All right. Don't do that. Because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. He's prophesying. This is way, way, way in the future. And you know, people got to be sitting there. And there's the two mountains. Remember the two mountains, the blessings and the cursing? They got to be going, what is he talking about, dude? I'm not eating nobody. I'll eat a Slim Jim before I'm just lighting it up. You know what I mean? Come on now. What is this? I'd eat a raccoon before I do that, or a possum. Might be greasy, but I'd eat it. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture or set a sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Oh, she's such a southern girl. She's such a southern belle. You have to Google that. Watch this. Her eyes shall be evil towards her husband and her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. I'm making light of this, but this is gross. But this is human nature when God has departed from them and they've left God and they've rejected him. And we say it can't happen. It will happen. It happens. It happens in the world today. You look at people, how they act. And look, if we can't even act civil during Black Friday. Can I say Black Friday? I don't know if I can say Black Friday. Gray Friday. Red Friday. Whatever Friday. Zebra Friday. That's fair. Zebra Friday. And you know, we can't even act social and nice on that day. What's it going to be like when you can't eat? What's it going to be like when these guys are flipping out? What's it going to be like when Cracky the Clown can't get his crack or his meth? And on and on and on and on it goes. See, that's all dignified with, you know, we're... Let me tell you something. God says this will come to you when, yeah, you just get somebody on flacca. I ain't even got time to talk about flacca. Some people don't even know what flacca is. Flacca, they eat your face off. And they're not even hungry. They're just demon-possessed. I had to put a warning on this YouTube one, man. Watch out. This is, don't eat Taco Bell before I get on. You get on here. But it's just, this is the Bible. And he put it in there. He put it in there. He's saying, look, you're going to freak out. You're going to go into mind madness, blindness, and astonishment of heart if you leave me. All right, let's go. And toward the young one that cometh out from between her feet, talking about birth, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for the one of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. He said, if you won't do that, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And something I did in my notes when I read that, and the Lord will make. I circled make. Thy plagues wonderful, not meaning beautiful, means an astonishment. And the plagues of thy seed, and even great plagues, and of all long countenance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Verse 60. Moreover, he shall bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Notice what he says here. Oh, by the way, P.S. If I missed anything, there's a bunch more there just to let you know. Huh? All right, go ahead. And you shall be left few in number. Did that happen to Israel? Yes, it was. Whereas you were as the stars of the heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, and to bring you to naught. And he shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among the people from one end of the earth. Did he do that? Yes, he did. And to the other. And thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy feet have rest. For the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and what? And sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt. This is very powerful. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Disobedience will always bring doubt to your life. Disobedience will always cause you to hang on. Well, I don't know. And what is my future? And what if? And thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have no assurance of thy life. And in the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at the evening thou would say, would God it were morning. Unless, in other words, things are so messed up, nothing's good for you. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee unto Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Did that happen? It happened through slavery. It happened through various things that Israel went through. And thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen, bondwoman, and no man shall buy you. Wow. Somebody says, okay, well, that's cool. That happened back then. No, these things happened many, many generations later. They continuously happen in various parts of the world. And if you don't believe these things are not going to happen again, then you need to go back and read the book of Revelation. You need to go back and see, even in Matthew chapter 24, some of the things that are come upon the earth. These are part of those cursings. And they're perpetual. Well, here's a good thing. Let's not leave it on the cursing part, even though that's part of the teaching for tonight. If those cursings were generational and perpetual, some things ending in certain generations and time periods that didn't go forward, some things continue on, then guess what? So do the blessings. So do the blessings. So how do you look at things tonight? Well, because I obey, I'm going to look towards the blessings. And because the world is disobeying, I'm going to warn them of the cursings. I'll offer them the blessings that God gives, but they better get things straight and order in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the message tonight and the opportunity to talk about the blessings and cursings. You offered the blessings first. That's always your choice. You always choose that. You always lead us towards that choice. You always help us to do that. And so, Father, I pray that we would do that. We would obey and have the blessings in our lives so that we can expand the truth and preach the gospel to the nations of the earth. Father, bless your people. Again, touch our brothers and sisters in Beirut. Somehow get glory out of this situation, Father. Somehow, Jesus, show up and show off and let your Holy Spirit move through that city, move through that government, move through the leadership, move through the church, somehow to bring forth revival and revelation of Yeshua. We thank you for it and we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.